Hi, this is Luca.
And this is Laura.
And this is the CareerBeat Talks podcast,
where we bring you the latest insights from the world of recruiting.
From both sides, the candidate's perspective and the company's perspective.
Let's jump right in. I'm so excited that today I have the pleasure of interviewing Clara Hahn. She is founder and managing director of Fired Up Space. Just to give you a little bit of an overview of what Fired Up Space is all about, Clara will, of course, tell us then in detail. But practically, for people who are currently unemployed, Fired Up Space is a great, you know, place or a great tool where you get assistance from professional coaches that will guide you, create a career path that really is meaningful for you. So today we will explore the topic of unemployment, what it means here in Germany, but then also how can you get, you know, a path from there? How can you build a path from there that guides you to that career you're looking for? So I'm so excited to have you here, Clara. Welcome.
Thank you so much. We're really happy to be here. And if I can already like jump in and say, this is actually like free coaching that we're offering, because many time when people hear maybe in a podcast or in an intro that coaching, you know, about coaching, then they could jump into like, oh, no, they want money from us. We don't. we are literally just here to support you on your career change.
That is such a good point that you already brought up. Thank you so much. It really makes a difference for listeners. So thank you for already pointing that out. But now we will really go into the details, because yes, now we're super curious. I think all listeners are curious. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about your path so far and how this led up to founding Fired Up Space.
The reason also why I jumped in with the free coaching is because I was at a point in my life that I was super lost after I separated from the father of my daughter. So I just became a single mom and I was on government help. Back then it was called Hartz IV, and it still had even more like shame-inducing, you know, feelings to it. And this is where I had no clue how to, you know, show up at work while having a three, like back then she was 8 months old, child at home. So I needed a lot of answers, and I needed somebody to ask me good questions. So I looked for coaching, and I found one that was also government funded. And it was actually a very negative experience, because the coach on the other side was just trying to, you know, fill her bureaucratic boxes. There's a lot of paperwork involved, and she was just, you know, figuring out her paperwork and my CV, which was like all over the place, instead of like just being there with me. And that was, I think, one of the initial moments when I thought, okay, this could have been done better. You know, unemployment shouldn't feel like this shameful problem, but I rather really wanted to see it as an opportunity. And it was an opportunity for me. I changed a lot. Slowly I started Fired Up. And now, yeah, we grew to like a big group of over 60 coaches and have helped more than 1,500 people. So that was quite a journey from like being there myself and now, you know, offering this support to others.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing this. I mean, I love hearing from, you know, founders who have gone through that specific problem that they are now solving with their company. So I think that's so, so cool, because that also means that the service you're providing, you know what makes sense and what not. So I think this is going to be super useful for the listeners. I had the question, like, what was the mission, or what is the mission that you and your partner follow in Fired Up Space? But I guess you already kind of mentioned it, unless there's something you want to add on that.
Yeah. I mean, the big mission is really unstigmatize unemployment and turning it into an opportunity, both individual, but also for us as a society. Because like periods of unemployment will be more and more the case for us. Like it's different than for our grandparents, probably, who maybe just had one job, one career. Now in our times that there's so much changing, we need to be adaptable and we need to learn to like change.
Yes, definitely. I also like this fact. I mean, I like it, but it's very important to talk that it will be more present also in the near future. So it's very important to learn what you can do about it or how you can deal with it. And talking about unemployment in general, I think what's very important is that a lot of our listeners are maybe not even in Germany yet, or just you know, moved to Germany and are not very familiar with the whole process of being unemployed in Germany, which, by the way, is really amazing, especially if we compare it to most of the countries out there. So let's talk about it. What does it mean to be unemployed in Germany? Maybe we can make it with a little bit of an example. So let's say there's Maria and she just got fired from her job here in Germany. What would she do next? What option does she have?
Yeah, so if you work more than 13 months in Germany, you were employed, you have the right and actually also the duty to register at Agentur für Arbeit, so the agency for work, if I translate it, and then you will receive 60% of your salary, of your former salary, plus you know, your insurances, your health insurance, etc., are being paid. Yeah, and then you have like a year of unemployment benefits, which is what we always like to add, is like an insurance benefit. Like you paid into that insurance when you were employed, and now you can use it. Because sometimes that is kind of mixed up when you're then at the agency and that you feel like you, I don't know, you're a weight on people, but you're not. Like this is how, you know, this country is built. It has this element of social welfare, which everybody can use and should use.
So important. I also, like in the beginning when I moved to Germany, was like, wait, how does this work and where does the money come from? So I like that you again already like unstigmatized one part of it and really took away one fear that some people might have. So yeah, absolutely cool. So Maria would practically go there because she needs to, you know, register. She has the duty, but she also has the opportunity to go there. You beforehand mentioned a lot of paperwork. Is that to be expected at the first stage?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to lift that burden off more and more. But yes, it is bureaucratic. I mean, if you're not a native German speaker, and even as a German native speaker, there's a lot of bureaucratics there. And if you have like a German speaking friend that you can invite for lunch, that they can help you through, that is definitely helpful. There is you can also do it online. You can call them, but many times they want somebody to translate for you because they are actually not allowed to speak English, even though some of them do. But yeah, if you have the chance to have a German-speaking friend or a translator, there's also services for that. It makes life easier, yes.
Do you by any chance know why they are not allowed to talk English? I didn't know this.
I mean, you know what? Like, it's just something that I hear, like Amtssprache Deutsch. But I don't even know if this is like by law or something, or if this is just gotten used to it. Yeah.
Right. Okay. But that's very interesting. Yeah. It definitely makes sense to have some contacts here in Germany. I mean, yeah, for sure. Most of the documentation will still be in German. So it is helpful for sure. Mm-hmm. And maybe just before we move a little bit more into the next steps, I know that there is a difference if you, like the company let you go versus if you quit a job, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe just briefly, can you tell us what the key difference would be?
Yeah. So if you quit your job, you would have a blockage time, Sperrzeit, for 3 months where you don't receive the benefits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, yeah, there is a little bit of like a, I mean, it's a harsh word, but there's a little bit like almost like a punishment. Unless you burn out, if you experience burnout or any other, you know, major challenge why you had to quit your job, you would not get that blockage. Mm-hmm. But that's something that then you need to have like, you know, a doctor's certificate on that.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. It's not easy to fake. You need to go to a doctor.
And then there's, again, of course, other considerations. If you, you know, once you have like a certificate by a doctor, I mean, yeah, that's other things that you need to consider to that. I mean, maybe one thing to add as well, there's two different statusy. One is unemployed and one is job seeking. If you are let go of, you are already in the status of job seeking. Even though maybe you're still working, you can already, for example, access a course like ours because you can access it also as a job seeker.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Maybe let's go from there, because I think with the example of Maria, so she came, she did all the paperwork, and now you mentioned there are some courses. So when she filled out everything, what can she expect? Does she automatically get access to the courses? Does she need to do the courses? Like, what is expected from both sides?
Yeah, there again, like the German word is Rechte und Pflichten, like rights and duties. But in general, like I would say the first year of being unemployed is quite easy. Like there is like the stories that you would get all of these jobs and all these, you know, courses that you have to take, but usually it's not practiced. I would say the first year is quite relaxed in most cases. You might have a very ambitious caseworker, but that could also be a good thing, right? Because then they want to help you. And if you are cooperative and you tell them why you, for example, take some time, you know, why you're maybe like looking at courses at home, or, you know, that they might be really understanding. But yeah, there are courses available, like Weiterbildung, like further education trainings or coachings to orient yourself, that you can access. Sometimes they might suggest you something, but you always have the right to say no. It's just important to stay, you know, cooperative. That means answering to emails. As long as you answer and say no and have the reason why, you are fine. It's, you know, like the kind of like the horror stories of people who have a hard time at Agentur für Arbeit or later at Job Center, we might go into that as well, is just if they are not answering and like blocking all contact, this is when it gets difficult. But as long as you're responding, you'll be fine.
Hi, this is Laura. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope you're truly enjoying it. And if I could ask for one little favor from you, it would be that you make sure to follow this podcast and also rate it. This will truly make such a big difference for us here in CareerBee, so that we start reaching more people who are looking for a job in Germany and also more companies who are looking for talents. Thank you so much for doing this.
Okay, good to know. I think that's already a good tip. And I mean, in the end, I see it the same, right? You are in a position where you're, you know, accessing some type of money. So it shouldn't be like a job. You have the right because you paid for it, of course, while you were working. But in the end, you still should do something for it to try. I mean, they are trying to help you. But of course, you also mentioned there are some courses that might not be as helpful. So I think it's good that you have the right to say no whenever you feel like that makes sense.
You're the expert of your life, right? They only have some data points. So the more insight that you give them, and we have that a lot when caseworkers are suggesting, you know, more traditional coaching offers, then we encourage our clients to actually look into the course and see if that really matches their background. Many times it doesn't, because it doesn't have the insight to like tech, for example. And then it's good to tell the caseworker, right? Because they don't know themselves, just to explain them like, hey, my industry is about this and that, and this course doesn't offer that insight.
That's also a very good tip. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for already sharing so many important things that we should consider. You were saying the first year is quite okay, so not too many to-dos maybe, but does that mean that as more year passes, things change, other expectations appear?
Yeah, so after your first year of ALG1, like the benefits that you have, the insurance, you would, you know, lose that, and you could then access like a job center money, like ALG2. This is called Bürgergeld. And there, I would say, like the situation is a bit different. It's not 60% of your salary anymore, but it is like a set, a fixed amount. It used to be harder, where you wouldn't be allowed to live in a big place and all of that, but that changed. So if you still know those stories, that changed. You can even have savings before the savings that you could have were quite small. So a lot of people did not go then to access like job center money, because it was just too limited and restricted. But now that is a bit lifted. So yeah, there is a chance to transition into job center. But yeah, I just from like the stories that we hear, obviously we're independent from them, so it's just stories that we hear. the climate could sometimes be a little bit tougher. So a little more on the expectation side. But also there's great caseworkers. It's just stories that we hear. Yeah.
Okay, very interesting and also very important to consider, right? It's not like you register and it stays the same for until you have the job, but the expectations also change the longer you are within this status. And one thing you mentioned about the job center, so can you maybe tell us what are the differences or what is like the relation between these two?
Yeah, they're really separated from each other. One is for people who, I always like take it from the angle of like the insurance money, like who paid into the insurance and now are like taking, you know, part of their salary back, let's say. But job center is like this, is there English word welfare? This is like for everyone. If you've worked, if you're employed, if you were not employed, a lot of freelancers might use that. But also if you haven't had a job, if you, you know, maybe you were supporting your family, you had kids or whatsoever, so you can't access Agentur für Arbeit, you will access job center. So in that sense, I would say it's more kind of like, you know, part of our social society, more like almost like, I don't know, like now I would get like philosophical. I don't know, like kind of like where both of them came from. But it's they're not connected. It's different agencies.
And I think that's the important information, right? Because I think you can get confused because there is so many good things also in Germany. But because there are various things, it's important to also understand the differences and already shine some light on that. So thank you so much for that. So maybe now having a little bit more of background of, you know, the support you can get once you are in the situation of being unemployed, to what can you do to maybe move out of that and then build again the career that you really want to get or to build for yourself. Let's talk about Fired-Up Space. How can you then help people come out from unemployment through, for example, your coaching services? So maybe you can walk with us through the process.
I mean, the first element, I think, of unemployment that is also separate from what we do, but also is included in what we do, is time. It's something that, you know, when you are in your day job, you have little off sometimes, right? You're just, you know, in the tunnel sometimes of working, and there's not a lot of time and space to reconsider other choices. And I think that's something really beautiful about being out of work, is that there is this element of time. And of course, that element of time is also in coaching, because in coaching, I mean, we are even like, I would say, holding space even more for time to appear, because otherwise what can sometimes happen when you're, you know, unemployed and you don't have that kind of like set up like a coaching, is that you stress yourself a lot and you apply randomly and you're jumping around and you're stressing yourself, and then there is no element of time, right? So this is the first thing that I want to point out, that, you know, just having time to reconsider is already valuable a lot. But then, of course, there's other aspects in a coaching. We work with over 60 coaches, like from the HR world, where it's more, I would say, pragmatically, like strategically looking at your CV and at opportunities that you have. But we also have coaches who are, I would say, like offering coaching in a more holistic sense, where it goes deeper into your visions, you know, like your values, and it has like a deeper approach. So that's kind of like the range that you could do in coaching, I would say.
And I love that, because previously when we were talking, also you mentioned the fact that for every person who goes into unemployment, I mean, what you're looking for afterwards is so different. So I like that there are different types of coaches with different expertise, and depending on what you're looking for, you'll find someone to help you along the way. But how would a person know what they need, right? So do you have like a first call where you kind of evaluate with your expertise, or how does that work?
We offer a first intro call where we just listen first hear where the person is. So some, you know, might just want to jump into the next opportunity for different reasons, right? It could also like just be, you know, where they came from or their ambitions or whatsoever. And there, you know, it might just be helpful to have somebody help them with identifying opportunities. So in this chemistry set call, as I said, like we listen and then we suggest some coaches that might be a match, and then they can have another call with the coaches to see, like we call them chemistry calls because the you know, personal side of coaching or like just making sure that the people really fit together is something that we want to take care of.
I like the name. I've never heard of a name like that for this first call, but I think it makes so much sense and it really describes what you're doing in that call. So I really like the name. And in general, I know this is super difficult to say, but like how long do you think these coaching sessions in general go for?
Oh yeah, actually it's quite regulated, so I can say it really precisely. Yeah, so like we have programs of either 8 weeks, which is more like the orientation coaching when you want to maybe change your field or you really have no clue what to do next, then we offer the 8 weeks coaching. And we also have like a compact Maßnahme, like a 4 week coaching where it's more pragmatically going into action.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And do people who go through the program like do it on their own or is there some community element to it?
Yeah, so we added a community element because, I don't know if you've kind of heard about like peer support, this mechanics of like peer support. There's something really, really beautiful about just hearing from a peer. And we all know that, you know, that they're in the same situation, that they can relate. So yeah, we added like a Slack community. And it's really beautiful to see when people are in a similar situation and how they can mirror that. Because this is also like where a lot of stress comes from, right? When you think you're all alone in the situation and then just hearing there's others, which can be such a relief.
Yeah, I love that you combined that with the Slack community. I mean, even if it wouldn't have, it would already be super helpful, but the community does add some value. So
now we're starting now in real life meetups. That's something that a lot of people have asked us to do. But you know what it's like, you know, there are so many great ideas, but only that little time to do them. But yeah, now this month we will have our first in real life meetup.
Oh, kudos. That sounds amazing. Yeah, I totally understand how much work is behind every little step you do as a company, but I love that you're taking those steps. I think that's going to be so, so helpful. So excited to see how your in-person meetups go. Mm-hmm. Until then, for everyone who's still, you know, listening on the virtual setting and trying to access your coachings, I thought about one additional question because I think you're, from what you tell us, your services sound so, so helpful. But coming back to Maria, right? She filled out the documents. She now has access to trainings. How can she make sure she gets your coachings? Is that something like she reaches out for or she needs to discuss with, you know, the Arbeitsagentur? How does that work?
Yeah, she needs to apply or request for a voucher. But we help with every step of the way there. Because yeah, like most of the people that we work with are experts. And so we want to ease that, you know, German side by, you know, helping people with templates and, like guides of how to do that.
Oh, okay, cool. So the first step would be to reach out to you.
Yeah.
And then with you together, you go through the process. Okay. That sounds very good. It makes it much easier. I feel now people relieved listening to this. So you already mentioned that you do it a lot for expats. And one question I have here, how would it be for people who, you know, have not worked in Germany yet? They probably cannot access, you know, the typical process of going to the Arbeitsagentur. Do they still have access to your services?
It depends on their visa situation. If they have, I mean, generally speaking, and I'm not a lawyer, so if they have like a working visa opportunity, then they would be able to access Job Center or apply as like a job seeker. But that's something that is always, you know, good to like check with a legal, you know, side or call them and make sure that it, you know, meets the requirements of your visa.
Okay. Yeah. That's still, you know, it gives hope because I thought there was going to be like a, no, there's no chance, but now there is a chance. Yes. You just need to check.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there, like, let's say for people who definitely cannot access, you know, these coupons to make it for free or this voucher, sorry. Is there a way to still, you know, pay for the services to just get access to it?
Yeah, we also offer paid coaching as well.
Okay. So that's very good. So for everyone, you will have the chance. Of course, it depends on so many factors, which type of service, like if you get it for free or not, but there are ways. So definitely make sure to check out. I will link all the contact information as well in the podcast episode. But we're not done yet. I still have some questions for you. I also want to switch a little bit to the employer side because, you know, we want to take out this stigma from people who are unemployed. And I know that from working with a lot of companies, helping them find talents, that they many times are a little bit more careful when they see in a CV that a person has been unemployed for a longer time period. So what would you tell those companies why it can actually be beneficial to hire someone who comes from this situation?
Okay, so I'm freshly also an employer myself, so I can really answer this question from like first experience and then, you know, go to, you know, other employers, recruiters, and why I believe that, you know, having had a period of unemployment is actually a good thing. Because, I mean, obviously it's not black and white. Some people, you know, that have been unemployed for a longer time, you know, might maybe not be as self-reflective as others, but now I want to talk about the best case scenario. During a period of unemployment, first and hopefully through coaching with us, you have an opportunity to reflect, you know, your offboarding, like what went wrong, why didn't it work out with the last job, and you can move from like a state of blaming, like oh they did this and that, and like my boss was so horrible, to owning more and taking responsibility back of what is your part in that and how you want to position yourself at your next job. So that you can own your duty as well, right? And I think you need time to reflect that. And so I think people who had a period of unemployment might have considered their position, their goals, aspirations, and will start the job like super committed. And I've seen that, you know, in our small team. I would always, if I have the choice of somebody reflected, somebody who is sure about what they want, I would always prefer that person to somebody who just kind of like with blindfolds walks through the tunnel and does job after job without knowing what they really want.
I love this fact. And I think it's so important for employers to really keep that in mind as well. And also maybe to add on what you said, I think another benefit, and I think you already mentioned that in the beginning where you said now you have time, right, to think, to, but also time to, you know, rest a little bit, because I feel so many people, you know, overwork themselves, are about to get, you know, burnout, and then quit a job to find another job in the hope that this job gives them a little bit more, you know, of freedom so that they can find this rest somehow. Mm-hmm. But what happens is they just start working exactly at the same pace, exactly with this, and then the burnout happens, right? So sometimes being intelligent enough at this point to say, like, not even intelligent enough, but, you know, careful enough to say, like, I will take care of myself before I start the new job. I think that's also such a good thing for the next employer, because then you have someone who has been rested, who has reflected, and who will start actually full power for the longer run.
Such a good point. Yeah, you're very right about that.
Yeah, so I think there are many benefits. You already mentioned that you are hiring and you have had some experiences. I would love to hear maybe one success story, of course, without names and anything, but one success story of someone who, you know, came from unemployment and started working where you saw like great results.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously like different definitions of success, right?
Sure.
I mean, we have those beautiful stories of people who, or maybe more general speaking, like most people that we're working with are either from the creative field or from tech industry. And curiously, we found that like people from like tech many times want to like, you know, become more creative, like, or do something more creative, maybe live something that they weren't able to live before, and vice versa. So creatives want to have like a more stable job and want to get into tech. And we were able to facilitate that transition for both sides, you know. So somebody who has kind of worked as an artist and, you know, was working at bars to keep themselves, you know, over water,
afloat,
the English term. Okay. So helping them into like a project management role so that they can have like a part-time job while still, you know, being an artist. And also somebody who was working over 10 years and sells, and was then able, through our freelancer program, because we also offer founder coaching, to start their own, their own creative practice. So I think like this is like stories that I always really appreciate when this change is possible. There's also like nice stories of somebody like from the, you know, a lot of people from new work that are interested in new work come to us. And so somebody who was starting at the Department of Interior in Germany. So there's all of these, like, I would say like fancy job titles that we're proud of, but also I would say a lot of the things that we're being feedbacked is people just being happy about the clarity that they've gained. Mm-hmm. And that is worth so much. The job title is of course as well, but coming out with more self-awareness and clarity is what we're really proud of.
Mm, absolutely. That sounds so cool. I love this fact that, you know, people come from this area to the other and yeah. vice versa. Yeah. And like, you need to use the other side of the brain as well, or want to use it more as well. I think that's super interesting. I can totally see that also, you know, with a lot of hires that we, or companies where we help to recruit for people, like the background, I see that also happening. So I love to see that this is so successful in your coaching. And maybe to kind of round this whole up, and you already gave so many insights, but what would be, you know, one key advice that you had for anyone who's currently facing unemployment, feeling a little bit, you know, drained or frustrated? What would you tell them?
You're not alone. Reach out. If you want, reach out to us, but like really just reach out to anyone to, you know, name what you're experiencing, because like feeling alone with this experience can be quite stressful. So I think like just getting out there, find somebody safe to talk with, and we want to be that for people. And then you can navigate again how you want to use that time for yourself.
Yeah, that's such a nice advice. I think that rounds it up so well. And just to add on what you just said, because I know that a lot of people might be also thinking like, this all sounds so good. I really will use the time for that. But what do I put in my CV afterwards? So just what you said, right? Like, because you're utilizing this time for self-reflection, you're not alone, by the way, a lot of people have this in their CV as well. Just make sure that in your CV, you also demonstrate what have you learned during that time? What have you invested your time in? And then it won't be a problem for a good employer. And you exactly. don't want to work in a bad employer anyway.
Exactly.
So.
You already right. have a filter in your CV if somebody is like not open for that sort of self-reflection. You have a good filter of like not landing there.
Absolutely. I love talking with you, Claire. It was super interesting. I learned a lot. I am sure that a lot of listeners learned a lot. So because you ended up with, you know, reach out, and of course mentioning you can reach out to anyone, but if you want to reach out to Clara, we will leave all the contact information in the show notes. Make sure to use it. I mean, this it's a free opportunity, at least the call to get to know her, so make sure to utilize that. Thank you so much, Clara. It was wonderful having you here.
Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're super happy to have you here. And if you are a company who's looking for talents to expand their team, make sure to check out our services at careerbee.de, because there we explain how we help you find top talents much faster. And on the other side, if you're a talent who's currently looking for a job here in Germany, then make sure to also check out our website under careerbee.de/talents, because there you'll discover more about our brand new masterclass, where we really guide you step by step on how to find that dream job of yours. But in either case, you can also just send us a direct email to team@careerbee.de, because we're also super happy to address all your questions directly there. Wishing you a wonderful day.